Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Garrett Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here, as always.
We've got a lot to talk about this week. We're going to be talking Stardom's All-Star Grand Queendom Show. We are going to be talking about some big news in Seedling, as well as previewing a number of shows for the upcoming Golden Week over in Japan. So lots to get to. Before we do that, we, of course, have to get in the plugs. Follow us on Twitter at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice, and if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. With Stardom's All-Star Grand Queendom 2024 just happened on April 27th at Yokohama Buntai in front of 2,735 fans. Kelly, your thoughts on the show?
It was very long. The first half was kind of a slog, but I really enjoyed the second half.
Yeah, it was really a tale of two halves. I thought the first half was not all that great, especially for one of the bigger shows of Stardom's year, but thought the second half was excellent. So really a tale of two halves. I will say that it did feel in many ways like a big show. Number way down from last year's All-Star Grand Queendom when they did over 5,000 fans. So, but I don't know, Kelly, I don't know if you agree or disagree with this. I know when we previewed this show, It was 2 weeks ago, so we were still sort of out from the show. They only had a few matches announced. Didn't really feel like a very big show this year in terms of hype.
No, not at all. I still maintain I would have pushed Mayu versus Sari as the main event.
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, but just didn't feel like this is their biggest. I know last year it felt very big. I don't know if it's because the Marigold stuff came out and sort of stole a lot of the thunder from them, but just didn't really ever feel, especially when you're in the beginning of the show and you're sort of like, all of these matches are fine.
Yeah, because like none of it was bad. It was just all the most fine wrestling you've ever seen, where it's just like, yep, this is a wrestling match. I don't really have anything bad to say about it, but I wouldn't watch this if it was my choice.
This is a five-hour wrestling show with about 2 hours of really good wrestling.
Yeah.
Which was tough. But let's get right into it. Now, Kelly, I know we usually don't watch the pre-show matches. I did watch the pre-show matches. Did you?
I did too.
Hey, how about that? So we can get into it here. The first of two pre-show matches, Momokogo getting the win over Rana Yagami in 6 minutes and 11 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts? I know that you are a Rana Yagami fan.
I am. It seems odd to me that Momokogo was so far down the card when she's in the movie that was the main sponsor of this show. You'd think they would feature her a bit more in some sort of, like, put her in the high-speed title. Just do something. It just felt weird to have her in the pre-show opener. But I don't know. I don't feel like they're integrating the marketing for this movie very well with the product.
I was just happy that she won because, as we all remember, during the Cinderella tournament, she cut that great promo and then got squashed. So
I really thought Rana had a chance to win here because Momo is so far down the pecking order.
Other than that, I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, a pre-show match. Yeah. Other than that, not too much to say.
No.
The next pre-show match, the Cosmic Angels duo of Aya Sakura and Yuna Mizumori defeated Lady C and Rion in 8 minutes and 57 seconds. I meant to look this up after the show and I forgot. Is Lady C's nickname Human Power?
I don't know, but I hope it is.
Because I thought that's what they announced on the show. I thought they went, human
power. I think that's power. Very good.
And I'm like, well, as we learned last week, Kelly and I often disagree on the names of things. Let's see.
Just
is it...
slap some words together and boom, you got a nickname.
I mean, what other type of power would a person have?
Machine power.
But they're not. She's not a machine. She's a human.
I don't know. I think she might be a super stardom machine.
No, she is not. She's Lady C. Let's see. Is it on Lady C? Nope. Misheard it. The answer is Human Tower.
Not oh, that's even better.
Human Power. Human Tower, I will allow, because it's descriptive of someone being very tall.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, really feels like Lady C's going nowhere. Am I wrong?
This is just what she's going to be forever, and it's kind of sad. I do like that she and Yuna have kind of a rivalry going.
Yeah, it just felt like, oh, she's getting lapped by everyone else in the promotion.
Yeah.
Like her thing is, oh, very tall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. I did like there was a pinning combination from Rion in the middle of the match that I can't describe. But I was like, wow, that's cool. It was like going for a some sort of like power bomb or something into a pin. And I was like, oh, that's a lot of fun and cool. But I can't tell you what it's called. Other than that, another pre-show match here.
Another match.
Then we went on to the show itself, left the pre-show behind with a title match, the Future of Stardom title, the champion Rina successfully defending her title against Sayaka Carrara in 8 minutes and 58 seconds. Kelly, I have something to say about this, which has almost nothing to do with the match.
Okay.
All my notes are in large part unrelated to the events of the match, which was I was watching this match and I became very distracted by the gigantic Lawson's logo on the map, on the mat. And I was looking at it saying, is that like an old timey jug of milk in the logo of Lawson's? I said, that's very odd. So I looked it up on Wikipedia. Kelly, can you guess? I will give you $5 if you can correctly guess where Lawson's was founded. Lawson's, a well-known convenience store chain in Japan.
It's originally a U.S. chain, isn't it?
Correct. It is originally a U.S. chain. From
jug of milk. I'm just gonna say Wisconsin.
Very close. It was founded in Ohio.
Ah.
In like 1884 or something. very odd, but that is why it was a dairy company, which makes sense. It is, I believe it is a milk jug. But very bizarre. I went down this rabbit hole during the match of figuring out all these things. And I think there's like two Lawson's in the United States or something, because they sold to some company and became Sara Lee in the United States.
Like the bread people?
Or like the pie people, like yeah. The frozen. Yes.
Huh. Okay.
They became Sara Lee. And I guess sold the name to someone in Japan who then made Lawson's convenience stores. But anyway, very odd. The match, I thought, was another fine match.
Yeah, I am still not at all impressed by Rina's Future of Stardom title run.
The next match was a 6-person tag team match, the God's Eye Trio of Amisore, Konami, and Suri defeated the Empress Nexus Venus Trio of Haneko, Wakasukiyama, and Xena in 11 minutes and 49 seconds. I will say that when we previewed this, it was against an X team. It was the God's Eye team against an X. I will say that the trio of Haneko, Waka, and Xena, not the most thrilling X reveal. You know, other than that, my big note was the same note I've had with Ami, which is that if she's going to sort of be the, you know, big, bad, tough, she's got to start laying in the offense, because she had a couple of like, let's meet in the middle of the ring and, you know, clothesline each other that looked like, oh, she's holding back. She doesn't actually want to lay it in at all. So once again, I think I gave that note a couple episodes ago, but
yeah,
hope that happens. And happy to see Konami back. And frankly, if you know, you consider the trade being my Sakurai for Konami, I'll take that trade for Stardom.
Yeah. Though I will say the shine of the just random Konami appearance matches has kind of worn off for me. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, cool. Another inconsequential match. Like,
but now she's back.
Like fully back. Okay.
Yes. This is not a random. This is the return.
Okay.
Of Konami to the company officially.
Okay, good. So she can just have inconsequential matches, but it's not a special appearance. All right.
Correct.
Also, this was yet another time I did not recognize Amisore when she popped out.
Who did you think she was this time?
Jungle Kiona.
What?
And I was like, that's
is
weird.
That true?
100%. I was like, that's weird. Why is Jungle here?
She's off being a firefighter. She's
that's what
like,
I thought.
Retired.
And I'm like, it's why is she suddenly in this match? That's cool. And then I realized, no, it wasn't her. It's that woman that I can never recognize at first glance.
Other than
I feel like she looks different every time I see her.
I mean, she did change a couple of months back, but she really hasn't changed again since then.
Yeah. She also never matches the picture that they show of her.
Well, yeah, I think the hair is different now.
Yeah, like, I think she looked like that once, and they took the picture, and they're like, alright, cool, we're using this forever.
Well, you gotta save money.
Yeah. Don't have those Rossi bucks anymore.
Other than that, I thought this was another perfectly fine match.
Yeah.
The next match was another title match, and the first title change of the evening. Spoilers, the only title change of the evening. Saya Kamatani defeating Fukigen Das, Saki Kashima, and Saya Iida in 6 minutes and 58 seconds to become the new high-speed champion. Many people who have listened to this podcast know that Kelly and I have very strong feelings about Saya Kamatani, but my thought was this feels beneath her.
Yeah, but at the same time, I am excited to see what she does in this title run.
I mean, I just hope she has good matches because...
it's been bad lately.
Yeah, I know that
well,
Saki Kashima...
It was good, and then it got bad.
Yes. And then it was fine, and then it was bad again.
Yeah.
I know people like Saki Kashima.
Hell, I like Saki Kashima.
Yes. I mean, I do too. I would say this. I don't ever want her ever involved in the high-speed division ever again.
No.
Keep her away.
Yeah. No. We've had enough of it.
The fact that she's now, you know, what is she? Is she a multiple? It feels like she's a multiple.
She's got to be. Like, if you tell me she's had that belt 12 times, I would believe you.
No. I know she... Maybe it just feels that way because I haven't liked it. She is a two-time very quick in succession. You know, because she held it last... Well, she held it last year forever. From May to... October.
Yeah.
That was the bad one. I mean, this one she held it for less than 1 month.
Yeah, this was barely any time at all.
You know, I would say she should not hold the title.
No.
Any type, really any title. Well, she could be in like a three, you know.
Yeah, she can be
artist.
In a trio title.
She could be in the artist scene. But anyway, just sort of like feels beneath Saya Kamatani. I guess it would be interesting to see what she does. I mean, I hope they just let her go out there and have good matches in the undercard.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Officially retiring the Phoenix Splash.
She feels very much in a period of transition, and I think this is actually probably a good thing for her to give her something to do while she figures out what her style and character are now.
Yes.
Because so much of her character was tied up in I Am Tag Partners with Utami.
Well, and doing the Phoenix Splash, which she has
yeah.
now retired.
And now those are both gone. So it's like, all right, cool. She kind of needs to figure out where she's going.
So I hope that she just gets good opponents. I mean, I hope she doesn't just wrestle Fukigen Death 8 times in the next 4 months or something, which is always a possibility.
Oh, 100%. I did think it was funny how the match was basically just the two Sayas wrestling with the other two doing comedy spots around them.
Yes. Let's, speaking of, you know, some people should do less. Some people, they should do more with Saeeda.
Yeah, no, 100%. Honestly, either if either of the Sayas won this match, I was going to be happy.
But we will see what happens there. But the next match was a singles match. Mina Shirakawa and Natsuka Tora went to a no contest.
Which doesn't make any sense. That should be just a DQ.
In 9 minutes and 32 seconds.
What did Mina do to get disqualified from this contest? Nothing. Was this Daichi reffing out or a call?
I don't remember.
I bet it was, because it's a bad call.
My first note on this match is, have you ever seen an Oedo tie match? Because that was this.
Yep.
And little did I know, the first of three really Oedo tie matches on the show, which really annoyed me. The funniest part of this to me was, so the match goes to a no contest. Oh, here comes a woman out on the ramp who I immediately identified as Tekla. I knew it the minute she walked out. I don't know if it's because of the way she walks, but they did do a good job that she was like not lit. I don't know how it was live, like in the arena, but you couldn't see. And then she stepped in the ring and it was like, oh, it is Tekla.
Yeah.
However, she was dressed entirely in black, wearing a shirt that says Toxic on it. And yet then stood there and it was like, what is she going to do? Oh, it's like, oh, I don't know. Is she going to join Mina or is she going to join the goth, you know, unit in Stardom?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a real toss up in that moment.
Especially because also Natsuko just like stood in the ring and I'm like, wouldn't you sell it by like rolling out of the ring and being like, oh shit, Tekla's here to, you know, beat me up. But she just sort of stood there. So everyone stood very still for like a minute. And I was sort of sitting there going, okay, she's going to turn and hit Mina.
Yeah. It was very much, oh cool, my friend's here.
And then she did. I said, nice to see Tekla.
Nice another to see her, and then she immediately joins the worst unit.
Yeah, another mid-carder to shove underneath Natsuka Tora in, I mean, easily the worst unit in Stardom.
Yep.
And little did I know that even more was about to happen to make the unit even worse coming soon. The match, I didn't like it. That's my thought.
Yeah, no, it was the worst match of the show, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily.
Now, looking at it, I'm like, yeah, I know for sure. This is the worst match of the show.
I'm tired. Every time this happens, I'm like, stop giving Natsuka Tora singles matches. Don't do it anymore. Please. Please. Stop it. Now she's coming out with a screen over her face. You know, it's hat on a hat again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm wearing a hood. Oh, I'm wearing a thing on my face. Oh, I'm painting my face. Oh, I'm doing this. It doesn't work. It's over.
She's not making it happen.
Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, I will say for myself, I don't know if Kelly agrees. This though was the turning point on the show.
Yes.
Where the show became good.
Yes. No, the next match, I made note of saying it's wild that Aja Kong and Kaoru Ito brought juice to this card. Like, they put in the most effort we've seen on this show yet.
The next match, a tag team match, Aja Kong and Kaoru Ito defeating Natsupoi and Tom Nakano in 16 minutes and 59 seconds. This was not a great technical match, but I thought it was a lot of fun.
I loved it. I went 4 stars. I had a great time with this match. Aja Kong worked her ass off. She worked so much harder than she had to in this match.
She really killed Tom at the end with the suplexes.
Yes.
Which I really liked. The one big ding on the match for me was Natsupoi going to hit that spin kick.
Yeah, and she just missed.
On Ito, she missed, went to do it again, didn't really connect, went to do it again, and the kick did not look good. And I just wanted to be like, move on from this. Move on. It's one kick. Like, you miss the kick, just go and do a regular kick and move on. Like, it was like spin, miss, spin. Okay, that didn't look good. Spin, that also didn't look good. And you're sort of sitting there like, okay, okay. But super fun. I mean, part of me has to laugh about just the idea of the minute Rossi leaves, it's like Aja Kong will never work for, you know, because she... Uh-huh. Kate's Roth, but it's like Aja Kong's here, Sari's yep. here, Ice Ribbon. They're doing things with Ice Ribbon. It's just so fun. All these things where it's like, we'll never see this all happening on the same exact show. Was very funny, but
it's
yes.
almost as if Rossi has some enemies in the industry.
I mean, putting it lightly,
actually, no, he's well liked and has never done anything to make anyone dislike him ever.
That is true. And without him, we wouldn't have Manami Toyota. Nope. So.
Did really... you know he founded All Japan Women's?
Anyway, that's a discussion for later. But yeah, a good match. The first, I think, good match, like really good match of the show. I was not as high as you. I probably would have gone like 3.5, but I thought it was super fun.
Yeah, really good time.
The next match was the first in the run of title matches leading to the main event. The Goddesses of Stardom title was on the line in a four-way match where the champions, May Sierra and Suzu Suzuki Crazy Star, retained their titles against Starlight Kid and Ruaka, Azumi and Miyu Amasaki, and Hazuki and Koguma in 11 minutes and 16 seconds. We've talked about it before on this show. This was great. It was just nonstop action for 11 minutes, and I loved it.
Yeah, no, this was just shit happening all the time. You blink, you're missing something.
You know, had more Oedo Tai stuff in here, but at least I could sort of put up with it in... you know, a match that's just sort of like people are running in and out of the ring all the time. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm out.
It was
I'm
fine.
I'm
in
like,
this
okay.
Spot.
You know, I think of all the people in the match, Ruaka was the most out of place. It seemed like she spent a lot of time outside of the ring as other people were doing a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it was you're right. She didn't fit. It was essentially a high speed match entirely, and that's just not her style.
Although you could argue it leads into the post match.
Yeah, you did need,
if you think about it that way,
you did need that. True.
I thought it was great. I went 4.25 stars.
I think what was I at? Where I lost my notes. Three. I was at 3.75.
I thought everyone looked really good. I thought it was. I think even they mentioned it on commentary at one point, the Japanese commentary, they were just like, this is a high speed match. So super fun. The thing Kelly and I have talked about where they just get a lot of people in the ring and you just go, go, go is what Stardom is really good at. And I don't think they do it as much as they should. Like, they should do this more.
Who knows? Maybe we'll see that more now.
Maybe. The next match was for the IWGP Women's title, the champion Mayu Iwatani defeating Sari in 20 minutes and 26 seconds. Kelly, I will let you go first.
Match of the year candidate. This lived up to the super high expectations I had for it. Just like two fucking maniacs going out there and killing each other and themselves in the process. Like, I still, like I said before, this should have been the main event. Like, it was the best, like, work rate match of the show. Again, you have Maya's movie they're promoting. Like, just put this in the main event. It's a dream match. Like, I loved this so much. It reached the Ibushi Naito levels of dumping each other on their head and neck. Just brutal the whole way through. I went 4¾ on it. Like, it's definitely ending up in my top 10, I think.
I was just slightly below you, even though I also thought it was really, really good. It sort of met my expectations, were very high. It met my expectations. I went 4.5. But yeah, it was sort of what I expected, which was that they were just going to go out there and try and kill each other. And Sari is, you know, willing to do that. And we know Mayu is willing to, like, be folded in half to, you know, like, sell a match. I also really did like the continuous cuts to the actress who played Mayu.
Yes.
Who almost the entire match did look like she was going to cry.
Yes. And just calling for Mayu, like, that was great. I loved that.
Yeah.
What do you think of the trailer for the movie?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, part of it's hard because it's in Japanese and I'm just sort of sitting there being like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's very funny to see Oedo Tai's Shuri. and Kelly's favorite guy, Gussie, is
yeah, Gussie Ogushi.
wearing his hat.
Yep.
I also like the implication in the trailer that Rossi never takes off a hat.
No, never.
He's like in private with her and he's wearing a hat. He's like, no one will ever see the top of my head. I will only wear this hat. I mean, yeah. We'll see. I hope that either it gets released here or someone can get it and put, English subtitles on it, because I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I did notice there was a Netflix logo on the trailer, so maybe they'll bring it over here that way.
Maybe. I mean, I also know that, you know, I'm in a should I say this? I'm in a city where a lot of foreign movies will play.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. Oh, I guess they do. People know where I
live?
Yeah,
they know where you live because I was there. And
yeah, that's true. I was just thinking about that. I'm like, you did come.
Yeah.
All right. I live in New York. Like, the AMC near me will often play foreign films on, like, one screen for one night. So I guess it could come that way.
Yeah.
We'll see.
My
I mean, if it happens
about it,
I mean, we have to review it on the show.
Oh, absolutely. My only complaint about it was I thought, like, it looked like a TV show rather than a movie in terms of production values. Like, I don't know. It just looked off in some way. Also, well, it's very also weird to see Momoko Go not being herself, but just looking like herself.
Yeah, it is weird that they got some people in it and were like, how did you decide that?
Yeah.
By the way, as I'm thinking about this, I realize we didn't talk about the biggest moment of the tag title four-way match.
Oh, yeah.
Which was Starlight Kid being kicked out of Oedo Tai. At the end was attacked by Ruaka and Tom Nakano coming out to make the save.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think about?
I don't know how I feel about Tom making the save. Like, I feel like there's other people that would have made more sense. Like, honestly, Azumi would have been better to make the save just because of the past relationship those two have.
I will also say, Oedo Tai ripping at the mask.
Yeah, I think it's coming off.
See, because now I thought, oh, but is she going to lose the match?
Well, maybe not then.
Because I would think the whole thing would be like, okay, you kicked me out, and I'm going to prove you wrong, and I'll put my mask on the line against, like, Natsuko Toro for the hair or something. And but that's a very Rossi. Yeah. That's a Lucha thing. So I'm like, maybe they won't do that.
Yeah, I could see her just losing the mask or taking off the mask as part of her good guy evolution or something.
I don't know. But I just remember that as we switched between matches. I was like, oh, that's a big moment that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Because
anyway, it was followed by a big moment after the...
Correct. After Mayu and Sari, Mayu winning, and Tsukasa Fujimoto coming out to the shock of the crowd, ice ribbons, Tsukasa Fujimoto talking about the history between Stardom and Ice Ribbon, I'll make this pun, the icy history between Ice Ribbon and Stardom, talking about, which we haven't gotten to yet, but the fact Arisa Nakajima announcing she is retiring this year in August and challenging Mayu to a match against the Best Friends tag team. So it will be Best Friends against Mayu and someone.
Hell yeah.
Coming up, that should be amazing. We'll talk more about Arisa during the seedling section, but that's what I mean. It was like, you know, Tekla came back, Starlight Kid got kicked out of Oedo Tai, like Fujimoto showed up. I was like, this feels like really big and not in the usual way of just like people are coming out to challenge after matches, which happens a lot. But great match. The match of the show for me.
For sure.
Mayu and Sari. The semi-main event, Sayori Ano successfully defending her Wonder of Stardom title against the Cinderella tournament winner Hanan in 21 minutes and 24 seconds. I thought that they were put in a very tough spot to follow the previous match, but I thought that they did very well. I thought the last 5 minutes or so was really, really good. Mm-hmm. I really liked the finish with Hanan pulling up Sayori near the end, like going to pin her, pulling her up at one, and then losing on a roll-up.
Yep.
I thought was a really fun you know, sort of story beat of, you know, Hanan a little bit more inexperienced, sort of hyped up in the moment, is like, yeah, now I'm really going to stick it to her. And Sayori pulls out that, I don't know what she calls it, but the sort of press pin move that she does. And so I ended up thinking it was really excellent. I mean, it helps to have Sayori, you know, who's willing to like land on her head 15 times. to get a match over, but I went 4.25 stars. I thought it was very good.
That's where I was too. Yeah, I thought the finish was perfect. I was probably 4 prior to the finish, but that the finish bumped it up because that was just so perfect. And you know, that's something that will be a story beat for years to come for Hanan. And like, so that was great. I thought just they, and I definitely feel like they kind of ramped things up. Like, it seemed like they went out there and were like, all right, we're just going to do more hard hitting and head drops than we probably were before because that last match was so killer. We have to try and match their intensity at least a little bit. So I thought they did a good job. They didn't feel like a come down from the previous match. It was like, let's keep this energy going.
Yeah, and I thought Hanan was going to win. I mean, that's what I wasn't sure, but I thought. And so certainly also near the end, there were some really good near falls that I thought were really well timed. So another very strong match.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each 1. Now, when I buy slab packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's gonna be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably gonna get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing. You know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y FYVideoLock or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And then finally, the main event for the World of Stardom title. It was a best 2 out of 3 falls Stages of Hell match where the champion Micah retained her title against Momo Watanabe 2 falls to 1 in 35 minutes and 5 seconds. Momo Watanabe winning the first fall, which was a regular singles match, in 14 minutes and 14 seconds. Micah winning the Falls Count Anywhere hardcore match at 26 minutes and 51 seconds. And Micah winning the last woman standing third fall, obviously in 35 minutes and 5 seconds. Kelly, I'm interested to hear what you thought of this match.
This was very long, and it felt like it. I think the work was all really good. I think each fall on its own was good, though the last fall, I'm just not a fan of last woman, last man standing matches, because so much of it is just watching the referee count, and that was the case here, so that one was kind of bleh to me. But I thought the first fall was really good, I thought the second fall was really good. I do find it interesting that it was kind of framed as like, oh, Momo's got such an advantage in this hardcore match. And it's like, she's not a hardcore wrestler just because she cheats and uses a bat every now and then. Like, that's not her specialty. Like, Micah probably has more experience in hardcore matches just from the prominence feud than Momo does. So I don't know. That just kind of seemed goofy to me. I thought it was really funny watching them have to, like, clean up the ring in between the second and third fall. Like, just leave all that shit in there. Who cares? It's part of the danger. But, I don't know. I had my problems with it, but overall I did enjoy it. I ended up going 3 3/4. But yeah, just a little too long, and I would have preferred a different stipulation on that last fall, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'd probably be around 4, maybe 3 3/4. Yeah, I thought the first fall was the best of the three falls. You know, I think some of it is with the Falls Count Anywhere, it's sort of like, well, I'm sort of desensitized to a lot of like, oh, you hit someone with like one chair, like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and this was the one, you know, it's sort of like Sayori and Hanan had tricky following Mayu and Sari, but then it was like, oh, now I've had 2 really good matches, and it was very, you know, over 30 minutes long. You know, I thought it was good, not great. Yeah, but certainly nothing bad. Again, I went 4 stars. I thought it was really solid, but, you know, didn't hit the higher level that the other really 3 matches, the 3 previous matches did. So, and also didn't really think Momo had any chance. And there's a little bit of the thing of like, okay, it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. Momo, they've already announced what the 3 stipulations are. So it's like, okay, Momo wins the first fall, so we know Micah's winning the second fall.
Yeah.
Which means there's a lot of time of like, okay, I know what's going to happen. You know, there's 12 minutes where I'm just sort of waiting to be like, okay, Micah is going to pin Momo, and then we're in the last fall.
I was thinking about, that's another thing where if Mayu versus Sari had main evented, I would have just had Micah sweep 2-0.
Or I would have been like, okay, it's going to be a Stages of Hell match. The first two stipulations are singles and falls count anywhere. The third stipulation will be announced at the show in case of a tie. Because when they're like, the last fall is going to be last woman standing, you're essentially being like, it's going three falls.
Yeah.
Which everyone knows, of course, but, you know, try and keep up the suspense.
Last fall should have been a cage match, and they spent like half an hour putting the cage up.
So that was All-Star Grand Queendom 2024. What else has been going on in the world of Joshi? Seedling had a show on April 21st. Nagisa Nosaki and Makoto retained the tag titles against Akari and Kariya. But of course, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, Arisa Nakajima is retiring in August. Very sad for me.
Yeah.
Very sad for many people. You know, Arisa is one of, if not my favorite, current Joshi wrestler. So sad to see her leaving, but happy that she'll get the match in Stardom and we'll have a few other big matches coming up. It's very strange because she's sort of part of that group of like 2015, 2016, 2017 era Joshi wrestlers who are all sort of now majorly scaled back or gone. I mean, I'm thinking about like Misaki Ohada, who retired. Tsukasa Fujimoto, who now is back and is wrestling, but, you know, not really sure how much wrestling there will be, especially after Nakajima retires. Now Nakajima's retiring. It's just sort of that era, as I think about it, of a lot of very talented Joshi wrestlers all retiring or leaving
for
one reason or another. So, but you never know in Joshi, people can come and disappear very quickly.
Yep.
You know, maybe closer. And
then some wrestle until their 60s.
Yeah. Maybe closer to the actual retirement date. We'll put something together about recommended matches. Of course, the big one is the hair title match from Seedling that finished, oh, I don't even remember, very high on the Voices of Wrestling year-end poll. I think at the time it was the highest a Joshi match had ever finished.
Yeah,
that very good match, but has a number of very good matches. So we will maybe we'll do that closer to August. Also happening, Oz had their Korakuen Hall show, that double title match between Mio Momono and Mayumi Ozaki. I have not seen it yet, but from what I have heard from people who have seen it, it is another high-end match. Of course, it was my match of the year last year, their first match. So this one getting equal amounts of hype and looking forward to seeing that. Speaking of hype.
Okay, how do I watch this? Is this on there going to be on the YouTube thing? Is it a pay-per-view? What do I have to do to see this match?
I don't know. I'll figure it out and let everyone know.
Thank you.
I don't think it was on. Hold on. I'll tell you right now.
Cuz I didn't see it on the YouTube today.
No, it wouldn't be on their YouTube. I don't know that it aired. I would think they would have streamed it, but it doesn't look like they did. Unless I've missed it.
Well, maybe it'll pop up on the YouTube then.
Yeah, but we'll get it. But Kelly, you interrupted my great segue that I had
know, I'm
going.
Sorry.
Speaking of hype, I'm just going to do it again. Speaking of hype, Hype 2 happened in Tokyo Joshi on April 13th, Hyper Masao's produce show. Last year's featuring Mihiro Kiryu. This year's featuring Raku as the main character. Kelly, did you watch the show? We didn't talk about it.
So I started it. I don't know if something's come out since. I haven't had time to watch it, if there has. But there wasn't like a translation thread on Twitter or anything. So I was just flying blind. And I got to the point where the girls were in like the gal makeup with the really dark fake tans and stuff. And I had the moment where I was like, if someone walked in the room right now, I think I would die of embarrassment because I can't even explain what's happening. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to stop watching this.
Well, good news for you. Since that moment, Dramatic DDT, the great DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Gambare, etc. blog, has come out with a play-by-play of the show.
Oh, tremendous.
Which I did use when watching and really helped, because if I hadn't had that, I would have had absolutely no idea what was going on. It did conclude, Kelly, sorry, I don't know if you've seen this. If you haven't, sorry to spoil.
It's okay.
It did conclude with a singles match, Raku facing off against Aja Kong.
Her best friend?
Yes, facing off together. You know, my thought on the show, I mean, you can't really, you know, critique it in any way. I think the first one was better. I think part of that is Mihiro was so sort of in no man's land in terms of like she wasn't really being pushed at all. She wasn't featured. She was just sort of like a wrestler on the roster, and it was a new thing. It was like, what is this? Oh, we don't know. You know, this one, Raku is in Up Up Girls. She, you know, has a lot of fan support. So it felt a little different. It wasn't really like, wow, look at this person I've never really thought about. Really shine, but still really fun. Got to see some, of course, fun things. Got to see Rika dressed up as a lead singer of a death metal band, which was fun. Of course, Aja Kong appearing was fun. So definitely, if you liked the first one, I would recommend watching the second one. If you didn't like the first one, this one you probably also won't like. because largely the same, you know, one, technically only one match, but a big story. I think the whole show is like an hour and 15 minutes long or something. Also, Ice Ribbon's Ice Infinity tournament did start. Yuri defeated Saran to gain 2 points, and Kiri defeated Hamako Hoshi to get 2 points. Wave had a show on April 27th. Shin Sakura Hirota retained the Elizabeth title against Cherry and Leon. Yuki Miyazaki retained the Regina DeWave title against Maika Ozaki. And Risa Sera and Saki retained the tag titles against Haruka Umasaki and Hanako. So that is what has been going on in the last 2 weeks. So we will talk about the Joshi Fantasy League standings. And Kelly, we have to make a rule determination.
Okay.
On the show. Something I realized as I was calculating the points this week that we need to discuss. But I will say the standings have not changed. Still in last place. And I
Jesus,
would call
by
it
quite a wide margin.
I would call it firmly in last place. Is Kelly down at 147 points. Rina Yamashita actually had a very good week for you.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe you were going to gain some ground, but unfortunately both Liam and I had title wins. So we left you a bit in the dust. Currently,
I just really have to hope that Utami wins the Marigold title.
Currently, Rina Yamashita, I should start at the bottom. Currently, Veni down at the bottom for Kelly with 20 points. Miyu Yamashita up at 21. Utami at 27. of course, Kelly, you're stuck in a little bit of a no man's land currently because Utami is not wrestling. Takumi Iroha at 28 points and all the way up at 51 points, Rini Yamashita. Kelly getting his first 50-point scorer there. Liam jumping up to 206 points. Seri had a great match with Mayu but didn't win it, so didn't get any points. Down at 16, Aoi at 22. Chihiro Hashimoto at 37, Suzu Suzuki, unbelievably, at 59 points, and Unagi Sayaka up at 72 points, the highest point getter for any of us.
Unagi getting that Iron Man title is the worst thing that could happen to us.
We have to talk about that, but I'll finish reading out the scores and then we'll discuss. And then leading still at 214 points, I am leading Miyu Watanabe at 26, Ibuki Hoshi, of course, no longer wrestling right now, at 29, Saya Kamatani at 36, and then Miyuki Takase at 60 points, helped out this week by winning the Pure J tag titles, and you up at 63 points. Okay. Here is the rules determination we need to make. Kelly jumped the gun slightly on what I was going to say, which is this. Unagi Sayaka, currently at 72 points, has been given 30 points for winning the DDT Ironman Heavy Metalweight title on three DDT shows. In looking up everyone's points, I realized that Unagi has won the DDT Ironman Heavy Metalweight title a total of 10 times.
Yeah.
In 2024.
She lost it and won it on a West Coast Pro show, I know for sure.
Yes, she. Those seven, which have not been included, happened outside of proper shows. Now, I can give Liam 70 additional points, at which point this essentially is over, because Liam will be something like 65 points ahead of me, and I am about 70 points ahead of Kelly. The question is, do we want to do that? I guess the options are this. Here are three options. I will lay them out. Option number one would be we do not count the DDT Heavy Metalweight title as a legitimate title, and which means Liam would lose 30 points. The second one is what we've been doing now, which is that only only title wins on proper shows as counted by Cage Match count towards the total. That is what we are currently doing, giving Liam 30 points. The final solution is we count every title change, which means Liam would gain 70 points and would be at 276 points, would be 62 points clear of the lead and would be 125 points ahead of Kelly, likely ending any suspense at the end of April as to who is going to win.
Yeah.
We don't have to make the determination now. We have 2 weeks. I can always add the points.
I would say leave it as is. I wouldn't count matches where it's like, because she lost to some chicken or something, didn't she, at one point?
She lost to Eel, which of course is Unagi.
Yes.
We also could make some determination of, like, in order for it to count, you need to have held the title for more than one day. which I think would give Liam more points, but would not give him the full 70 additional points that he
gets.
Anyway, we don't have to decide this now. We can leave it. Also, if anyone listening feels very strongly about this, we also haven't talked to Liam about it either.
No.
Liam may feel that he wants all the points, so I mean, I'm sure he will. Yeah. But anyway, just wanted to bring that up. Everyone, sit, think about it for a bit, and we'll update next time with what we're doing. But
all right,
for
I'm going to start up a Joshi company in the States and somehow give Rina Yamashita 20 title victories.
I should say for now, Kelly's sort of lagging behind at this point, but for the moment, it is close. And I think my biggest sort of thought about it was I would like to report on it every week, not saying, okay, you know, this is a blow. Like,
yeah,
I like Liam would not be close to me and I'm not close to you. So there would be almost no intrigue of,
yeah,
finishes.
Look, once I can drop someone and pick up an indie scummer that wrestles 40 times a week, we're going to get close together. We're going to get close again.
But anyway, that is the Fantasy League standings through April 28th. But what is coming up? Well, it's Golden Week. So there are a number of shows coming up. Stardom has a number of Golden Week shows. No major shows, but there are some interesting matches spread across the shows that they are doing. On the May 3rd Golden Week show, they are having a number one contender match for the Wonder of Stardom title. Ami Sorey and Natsupoi will face off. They both came out after the Wonder of Stardom title match, so they are going to wrestle to determine the number one contender. On the May 5th show, Suzu Suzuki and May Sierra will defend their tag titles, the Goddess of Stardom titles, against FWC, Hazuki and Koguma. And then on May 12th, Stardom will be having a Korakuen Hall show. Nothing officially announced for that yet, but should probably have at least one or two bigger matches. Oz Academy has a show on May 12th, although they haven't announced anything for that. Probably the biggest show coming up in the next 2 weeks is Tokyo Joshi's Yes Wonderland on May 6th from Korakuen Hall. The show is as follows. Toga will take on Shino Suzuki. Mihiro Kiryu, Chika Nanase, and Kira Summer will face off against Moka Miyamoto, Kaya Torabami, and Uta Takami. Yuna Manase, returning to Tokyo Joshi, will face off against Runa Okubo. Maki Ito will face Haru Kazushiro. And the tag team Burning, I believe they're called Burning Dragon. Rika Tatsumi and Yuki Aino will take on Raku and Palm Harajuku. Yuki Arai and Yuki Kamifuku will face off against Mizuki and Nao Kakuta. And then two title matches at the top of this card. The new tag champions Suzume and Arisa Endo Daisy Monkey will face off against the interesting team of Wakana Uehara and Himawari. So that should be a fun match. And then at the top, a Princess of Princess title match. New champion Miyu Watanabe will make her first defense against Shoko Nakajima. Kelly, I guess first I'll ask you, match you're most looking forward to on the show.
It might actually be that tag title match. I like giving the young wrestlers this big spot in the semi-main. Like that should be really good. And I think you're going to see Wakana and Himawari out to prove that they belong in that spot.
Now, do you think there's going to be any title changes?
Nah.
On this show?
Nah.
Wouldn't it be just hard? Wouldn't it be heartbreaking if Shoko Nakajima won?
Oh, I would be so upset.
It's possible.
It is, but you can't.
That would be very sad. But yeah, fun, sort of, you know, a top two show. But like Manase against Runo Okuba should be fun. And then I think the Tatsumi Aino duo is a fun duo. So a fun card, you know, Yes Wonderland at Corican Hall this year. So we'll see. But that's really the big show of this week. What else is, or the next 2 weeks, I should say. What else is going on? Sentai Girls has a show on May 2nd. Ryu Mizunami and Aname will defend the tag titles against Mika Iwata and Miyuki Takase. Ice Ribbon has a show on May 3rd, which will see best friends Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto face off against a team to be determined. So another best friends match happening there. Diana actually has a Corican Hall show on April 29th, so most likely will have happened by the time that you hear this. The big matches there are Naname will defend her Crystal Championship against Zones. There is a Secret Captain's Fall match. Deborah Kay, Yuna Makoto, and Anchamu will take on Miyako Matsumoto, Tai Hanma, Mike Ozaki, and Kakeru Sekiguchi. Shin Sakura Hirota will defend her Elizabeth title against Himiko and Kairi Yoniyama. Ayako Sato and Hanako Nakamori will defend the tag titles against Unagi Sayaka and Misa Kagura. And Haruka Umasaki will defend the Diana singles title against the visiting May Sierra.
That should be a good main.
That should be fun. Marvelous will be celebrating also on the 29th of April. Takumi Aroha's 11th anniversary, her 11th wrestling anniversary. Aroha will be teaming with Mio Momono to take on Titus Alexander and Starboy Charlie. A very odd match, I would say. And then finally on May 5th, Catch the Wave will begin the famous Catch the Wave tournament. They have announced the number of blocks. They have announced the participants in those blocks. But they haven't announced who's in what block or how this will break down. There will be two young blocks that will contain Hanaka, Chi-Chi, Rani Yagami, of course, from Stardom, Yuna, Yuzuki, Mizuki Kato, Riara, and Saya. There will be an Elizabeth block, which is for wrestlers over the age of 40. Shin Sakura Hirota, Yuki Miyazaki, Cherry, Kairi Yoniyama, and Himiko. And there will be three main blocks, and those blocks will consist of the following wrestlers: Kohaku, Itsuki Aoki, Kakeru Sekiguchi, Haruka Umasaki, Risa Sara, Saki, Yuko Sakurai, Tai Hanma, Saya Kamatani, Ayama Sasamura, Ancham, Naname, Dark Saluta, Sai, Momoko Hanazono, and Maika Ozaki. So hoping there. Saya Kamatani getting a lot of singles matches, and she's from Stardom, so she better be winning. And she's a champion, so she better win a lot of matches. And then on the 6th and the 12th of May, Shin Sakura Hirota will take on Andreza Giant Panda in, I guess, a singles match two times. So that will be that, and that is what is coming up in the world of Joshi. So I will throw it over to Kelly for his traditional Kelly's Corner segment.
Taylor, have you seen this dude on Instagram with the rotisserie chickens?
I have, only because you sent me the link. The man who is afraid of getting
LED contamination on his rotisserie chickens. So he has the barcode for the rotisserie chickens printed on a shirt that he wears to Costco and makes them scan the shirt.
Afraid of getting the LED contamination on the chickens, but not on himself.
No.
Maybe he's strong. And he buys a lot of chickens all at the same time.
He bought five of them in the video. And then there's also another video with someone asking him, why are you buying so many rotisserie chickens? And he said that they are changing the packaging and going from like the plastic containers to bags. So he's buying all those at once so he can save the plastic containers.
The wonders of life.
Yeah. I mean, a rotisserie chicken's a good time, but I don't think I would ever be so excited about them to get the barcode printed on a t-shirt.
It is interesting. And the guy in the video does scan his shirt five times. So.
And it works.
Yeah.
There's another video with them trying to do it, and you hear someone go, no, just scan, like, talking to the checkout person. Like, I guess their manager came by. I was like, no, just scan the shirt. It works. I do like when he, like, hands over the card. He's like, I don't want any trouble.
Kelly also always bringing us the highest in quality entertainment.
Yeah, so if you're on Instagram, go look up Old Jewish Men, all one word, on Instagram, and you can find Rotisserie Chicken Man.
Well, anything else to tell the people about, Kelly?
Shogun Stuck the Landing. Very good season finale.
Yes, I have just started it, so I'm still behind, but I'm in the process of watching.
Good. Yeah, no, it stayed good throughout the first season.
Well, that is all for us for this week's episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. So we will be back with you again in 2 weeks' time to talk even more Joshi. So until then, farewell.
Bye, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.